Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hey, man, one per customer.
Excuse me?
You took the last 2 steaks.
One is for a friend. But even if it weren't, I'm entitled to enjoy as many pieces as I like.
Yeah? Well, maybe I'm entitled to stop you.
Hey. Sorry about that. Excuse me 1 minute. What happened to literally everything we talked about? The guy's probably a sponsor.
The guy's a steak stealer.
So let him steal the steak. This is our moment, Johnny. Yeah. Let's not blow it over nothing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is the return of Cobra Kai Cast.
Woo! This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6 episode, Benvinguts a Barcelona. Pardon my pronunciation.
That's better than I could have done.
Close. I went online and got a pronunciation. They said Benvinguts, like that. Benvinguts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and putting the accent on the right part, huh?
And I guess that's Catalan, which is there's this interesting, like, areas of Spain are part of this, it's called an autonomous community called Catalonia, including Barcelona. So it's like, it's different than Spanish.
Oh, I did not know. I thought it was just straight up Spanish.
So Cobra Kai, Season 6, Episode 6, Benvinguts a Barcelona. What did you guys think, Rima? What did you think of this one?
I thought it was a pretty good return after the break. It's really odd, you know, with Cobra Kai having the breaks in between. But I think it was, at first I was like, oh, it's a little slow. But then I was like, no, I can appreciate it because of the break that we had. You know, we kind of get to settle in and get back to where we left off and get back to the issues with people in their relationships and kind of get us back up to speed and kind of took our time to, you know, kind of settle in with where we left the characters in the last. So then I appreciated it more and realized that we kind of probably needed just a little bit of a, okay, let's kind of regroup to where we were. So I think overall it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was both the, like, the good and the bad for me in this episode, because I felt like the drama was getting a little tedious, but again, upon second watch, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I like that, though. Yeah. Oh, I don't like that. You know, so that's another thing where you have to watch it like twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way. Like, I was like, eh, this is okay. And then on second watch, I'm like, no, this is pretty good. I'm laughing. I'm feeling anxious for our heroes, you know.
Yeah.
It was good. And yeah, you're right. I think you're right, Rima, that like, if this had just been number 6 right in a row and we binge through, it would be like, why are they spending so much time on this stuff? But since they're kind of acclimating us back into it, it worked pretty well. And I think we were starting to get a little disappointed with some of the episodes at the end of the first 5. And I'm pretty sure, I didn't go back and rewatch them for this, but I'm pretty sure this is a little bit higher level than what we were getting before. Maybe, I don't know, at least the same, but I think maybe a little higher, because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Like, I think we were in that little tiny Cobra Kai bubble where, you know, where they're competing with each other to see who
yeah.
is going to be team captains.
But. And there's all this like coming up with the reasons why they need to have conflict with each other that feel kind of dumb. But now
yeah,
they've got
yeah,
other
yeah.
people. Yeah.
And now they did a pretty good job at showing you that's not going to amount to shit now on the world stage. They got bigger problems.
They just kind of, I'm getting into a point here, but I think it's a quick one. They just kind of hand waved away the whole thing with Kreese. Oh yeah, they let him off. Right?
Yeah, after I was wondering
the
about
whole
that.
Thing of a whole season of his whole escape from prison story. And then, yeah, they just forgave that.
yeah.
All's forgiven.
I mean, he was framed.
Or is he lying? He could be lying.
Yeah, he could be lying. That's a good point. But I mean, remember when he talked to Tori and we're like in that parking garage and we're like, how did he get to the U.S. just in and out? And then the showrunners were like, oh, well, he has like connections from when he was in the military. And I'm like, yeah, they were just bullshitting because they didn't want to spoil that they were about to hand wave all that away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. None of that matters.
Anyway, let's get into our points. Rima, what do you got?
Well, I was kind of talking about pacing when you asked me about the episode, so that's kind of what I'm just going to talk about here. I'm really kind of glad that they did take this just a little bit slow. I like that we got a little bit of action, kind of get a little tease of what this tournament is like being on this world stage. And it kind of made me appreciate it because I believe when we had the All-Valley tournament in season four, it was only two whole episodes. And I'm wondering if this tournament could take all of five, this chunk second half yeah. that we're going to get. And I'm okay with that. If we get this whole event across these multiple episodes, and I'm really intrigued. There were a lot of those flags up on the wall hanging up there. We saw a lot of dojos being represented there, and we got a new cool badass dojo that I'm really interested in. So I really hope that we do get to take the time and get to know some of these other competitors and kind of spread our world a little bit, you know, outside of just Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai. It's kind of interesting to get some new characters in there, and who knows, maybe make some friends or maybe make some enemies, kind of like that one dude was talking about. And I like that it doesn't feel like it's just another Miyagi-Do Cobra Kai beef. You know, it's like, yeah. it's like what you guys were saying. It's like, does that stuff even matter anymore? We've got a whole new group of people that are waiting to kick your ass. And you know, I mean, I feel like there's maybe bigger problems.
An exciting new world of enemies everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some of these guys, like, they really mean business. Like, they're not messing around. And so I really find that interesting. So I really do hope they kind of, you know, I don't want it too slow, but I really do hope we kind of take some time and get to know some of them a little bit. And we got to see some of Spain, which that was fun, you know, kind of being in a new location. Yeah. I don't know how much they filmed here. I'm too scared to go look up anything.
ChatGPT says they filmed some there, but mostly in Atlanta. So I would guess if ChatGPT is full of shit sometimes, but if that's true, maybe they did a few exterior shots with just some of the main characters. They didn't bring the whole, you know, like the efficient guy or all those guys over, but just a couple of outside shots. I don't know.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I assume they're maybe not in the budget to really have them all there, but getting to at least see some of those outside shots and at least giving you that feel of it was really cool. Kind of being in a new setting, you know, we're outside of like LA and some of the other places that we're in. So I like it. I like that they're kind of slowing it down a little bit and letting us revisit some of the drama where we left off with some, you know, Daniel and Johnny and their beef and, you know, kind of catching up with Tori and, you know, her decision. I don't know, we'll get into that, but I like that we're kind of getting, you know, getting into some of those payoffs of those stories. So
yeah,
I'm happy so far.
I think as a viewer, we're more excited about being in Barcelona in the tournament than the characters were. Yeah, because they're just running around all this drama and
they look seriously and, stressed out. All
bickering,
of them.
Yeah.
No one's, you know, enjoying
everyone's
it.
On edge. It's like it feels like they're not
Dude,
enjoying.
You're
this.
At the world tournament. Assholes, and at least feel some pride or something. Get over yourself. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. As far as, I mean, I always presumed that the tournament they made such a big deal out of it that it would go at least these five episodes, if not into the final five. But I don't really want it to go all 10 and have the final thing be like the 10th episode. I hope not. I want to see some epilogue. I'm sure we will see at least a little bit, but I wouldn't mind if we did finish after these five, or maybe there's like a cliffhanger and then the first, I bet you that's what'll happen. The first episode back, then we'll get the resolution to the tournament and then do four more. But I think probably sense. Everyone listening to me knows the answer to that. And we're the only three who don't know.
Right.
Right. We're the last ones because, yeah, it's the world of Netflix.
Don't tell us.
Yeah.
Richard?
I want to talk about the drama because it's on my mind right now. I found the internal bickering a little bit tedious upon first play. Second watch, it was like, okay, I'm going to pick this apart. I like this. I don't like this. I am interested of all the things that's going on. I am interested with the drama between Tori and Robbie, mostly for Robbie. I mean, because his choice for captain was kind of already in question. You know, it's already got like Miguel. It's got some of the others kind of like questioning how, you know. Is he going to make a good leader? And now that he's distracted and making bad decisions, like losing his hotel room on a bet with Quan, right? I'm interested to see where this leads. I mean, Robbie, he's come so far.
You know, Hawk pushed him into that. And then Hawk's like giving him shit later. Oh, he lost it.
He did.
You're right,
Robbie
though,
should know better.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We've come so far with Robbie, you know? And he was in a good place. And it'd just be a shame to see him in the end, not be able to say that he did his best. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the kind of shit you regret as you get older. It's like, you know, I was there. I could have just focused more. I could have been at my best. So that's keeping me invested with all the kid drama. Mm.
He's so much better of a character now than he was when this first started.
Yeah.
I mean, he was always a good character, but he was a character that when he was on screen, I felt like, I don't like this kid. And now I'm like totally pulling for him, like you're saying.
Yeah. When things are going well, it's like, oh, he's doing great. He's awesome. But then on the adult side, I wish Johnny and Daniel would get along. I mean, it's so much better. It's so much fun, more fun when they do. Like when Daniel says outside the hotel that we're in this thing together and Johnny goes, no. We're here next to each other, not together. I was like, ooh, I didn't like that. I didn't like the sound of that.
That was a stinger.
You know what I really liked is when Daniel keeps telling Johnny, basically, don't punch anyone and fuck this up, okay? We could get sponsorships for our kids, so just chill. And then when Johnny's upset that the dude took the last two pieces of steak, you know, and Daniel's like, wait, come here. Don't just come here for a second. Sorry about that. And pulls him aside. And he's like, you know, hey, that guy could be a sponsor. And he goes, well, he's a steak stealer. And then he goes, it's okay. Let him have the steak. Okay. Don't blow this over something inconsequential. And Johnny goes, all right. And I just love that little moment because even though Johnny's really pissed at Daniel right now and probably has some decent reason to, given that Daniel punched him in the face at the end of the first five, if you remember, Johnny still has respect for Daniel. And I love that this show does that where it could just be like, they hate each other now, but nah, it's complicated, you know? And Johnny was like, okay, you got a good point there, which I just kind of, it makes it feel like they're brothers, you know, they're having a bad period right now, but
yeah.
Yeah. They're still way better off.
Yeah. That part of it is what's keeping me invested in the adult drama. So there's little pieces with the kids and the adults that I'm into right now. So I hope it continues to keep my attention. I don't want to get to the point where I'm just like, all right, that's enough. Jesus Christ, fight.
I mean, we got, nine more episodes. So we've been doing this for a few years now. I feel like we'll be all right.
I totally forgot there's another five after this. Yeah. I was like thinking this was going to be it. You know, they're going to go to the tournament. It's going to be a huge deal, and then that's it. Nope, got five more. That's exciting.
Sometime in 2025, but still don't know when exactly.
I think they said they pushed off the Karate Kid movie that's coming up with Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio so that they could finish up Cobra Kai first. That comes out May 31st. So I think it'll be before that.
Like spring, maybe.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. My first point is called kicking competition. Oh, the kicking competition, which the thing about, you know, who can kick higher with Robbie and Kwan, which kind of reminded me of Karate Kid 2 when Daniel is in this like bar or something when they went to Okinawa and they saw people trying to chop through blocks of ice. Mm-hmm. And Miyagi like pushed him in to do it and placed a bet on him. Just like this challenge that presents itself in the everyday world that our heroes come upon. Except this time, Daniel successfully chopped the ice, but this time the good guy lost. And I was sort of thinking, why is that different? And this is more of like a storytelling examination than anything. But I think the reason why is because in Karate Kid 2, they went to Okinawa and Chosen was a huge bully, but there was no tournament. There was no fight that was on the calendar that they were headed to. Instead, there was rising tension between Daniel and this guy, and it wasn't a foregone conclusion that they would fight. So you needed the escalating tension between them that would then culminate, boil over into a fight. So the ice breaking where Daniel beat him made things more tense between them and made Chosen want to, you know, harass him and stuff. So good that point. Added to the tension. Here, if Robbie would have won, that would have taken away the tension. But now there is a tournament, and we know these characters are probably going to fight. So the show wants to make the heroes feel like they're in danger, they're underdogs, you know, make us anxious that they're going to lose. So at this point in the story, they need to suffer losses and make us be afraid. Oh, crap. Oh, no. You know, like
that. Yeah, they did that throughout this episode.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. fact, by the end of the episode, you're like going, oh, shit, this was hopeless.
They should just go home. Yeah. Next episode, they're like, Daniel, can we just go home?
Yeah.
We give up.
We're done, coach.
In that kicking competition, I liked Kwan is great. I think he's the perfect guy to represent the old Cobra Kai from the Karate Kid movie. He's badass. He's a total asshole. He's cocky and he needles you. You know, it's like Dutch used to do, or all the Cobra Kai back in the day. Mm-hmm.
And he's good too.
Yeah.
Did you see how high he kicked?
Yeah. He's like super talented.
He's very talented.
I don't know if he can really do that, but they had a long shot and they showed him, and where he had kicked was behind him. And it was like a foot taller than he is tall.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Can you really do that?
I mean, obviously they didn't actually do the spinning kicks and make those marks exactly where they ended up, but they did enough. They're talented enough that they could make it seem like they did, right? They've got some talent, both of those kids, but probably this kid's more talented than anyone else. Who knows? But I like the way that he egged Hawk and the Miyagi-Do kids on. He's all, oh, Team USA. Everyone knows America best at everything. Let's see. That was the perfect taunt because it's a room full of non-Americans from other dojos, and they all start laughing and mockingly chanting, USA. Like, all right, USA, let's see how strong you guys really are, putting the pressure on. And then I loved when Robbie kicked higher than anyone else. And then Kwan, he looked a little bit thrown off by that at first, but then he just smiled like, I'm about to beat you, you loser. And he did.
Yeah, he's like, hold my beer.
Yeah,
I got
like,
this.
That's all you can do? Oh, beer. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, the American team is kind of a train wreck, huh?
They are.
Pretty funny.
They are unfocused.
None of the other teams from the other countries really seem to be that surprised either. It's like, oh, yeah, America.
They think drama. They're so great. Yeah, drama. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get their shit together. Like, there's always a theme in Karate Kid about if you lose your focus, you're not going to do very well. And then at the end, Daniel figures out how to get focus. And now it's like that, except with a whole team of people. And you can tell they're very unfocused. I really loved that whole montage of them not sleeping well and trying to pull the covers off. And you see Kwan with pillows all around and an empty bed next to him, sleeping like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just fine.
That was the best part of that scene.
Okay, Rima, what you got next?
My next point, another short and sweet point, but I wanted to just touch on getting some new information about the Sakai Takai headband that Daniel found. That was Mr. Miyagi. I mean, I guess we're going with the thought that it was Mr. Miyagi's. I mean, it was in his box. I feel like we need to hear the story and and actually understand and know what it was and confirm that it's Miyagi's. I feel like until I can get a confirmation, I'm just going with that assumption. But we got a little information. I think it was really smart of Daniel to bring it with him, knowing that the whole group of people that they're going to be surrounded with in this tournament, that there could be somebody that has some information there. So, you know, getting to run into somebody who is in charge of like the apparel and stuff for the tournament, and getting to be around people who've been around for a long time. And we hear that there is a Master Serrano that, you know, maybe an someone that can help. And Daniel, of course, not being in that world and not having been known in the Sekai Tekai world, but there what's her name from Cobra Kai, she's like, he's a legendary champion, everybody knows that, like making him out to be so dumb. But I'm really interested to see and of course, as fate would have it, at one time this person lived in in Spain, so the fortunes are with them, you know.
Yeah, because the tournament doesn't always happen here, right?
I think it's it kind of moves around. So they just happen to be in Barcelona, and that person just happened to lived here not that long ago. So I'm really interested to get more information, and kind of keep up, with that storyline and kind of get some answers. I really need to get some resolution on that and kind of find, because it definitely has me intrigued. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to also, whatever it is, have a big impact on Daniel. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out and what that means for his character. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, probably of everything that happened in this episode, that excites me the most. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Miyagi story. It'd be really interesting to see what happens. No, we got a lead.
Fortunate, is he?
Yeah, the showrunners had mentioned that they might like to do a Miyagi prequel series. So I feel like this might be leading into something with that. Maybe we'll get some flashbacks, right now. I don't know. I thought what was interesting, I agree, they just gave us a little taste to move the story forward a little bit, and I was intrigued. And I thought it was intriguing that they noticed blood on the headband, and the efficient guy said the tournament was more brutal back then. They said it was from the 40s or 50s. That's what that woman you're talking about, Rima, said. And I kind of was wondering about that before, that maybe it was brutal. I wonder how much more brutal, could it be to the death? Because in Karate Kid, Daniel said to Miyagi when they were at this tournament and he didn't know the rules, "You told me you fought a lot." And he goes, "For life, not for points." So maybe the Sekai Taikai was for life back then,
Good point. Yeah.
Nice. Damn. Well, now we need to have a flashback.
Yeah. Because these guys don't miss details like that. So either it was for life or it wasn't him in it, in the tournament. But I think that would be boring if it wasn't actually Miyagi. Oh no, somebody else. That's a boring end of the
mentioned,
story.
They mentioned with this tournament, it was said, well, people have died, it's a big deal. Yeah. It's not,
So maybe that's another reason why Miyagi kind of doesn't like tournaments. I almost died, Daniel. And then
changes that perspective,
I guess that's all I'd say. So now we have a lead for him to follow, so it'll be fun to see what happens.
That's gonna be cool. Now I'm even more excited.
Ohio football fans, picture this: you bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
All right, Rich.
So, the introduction of the Iron Dragons. I know Rima was talking about this just a little bit there, but now we have a team that's the baddest of the badasses. I mean, really? I don't remember what, and then to your point, Jason, I don't remember what the plot device is called, but where you keep adding these elements that make the odds of winning seem absolutely hopeless. I think we're screwed at this point. Jeez. But it sure is effective at making our little Miyagi-Do team look even more screwed at the way they set this whole thing up. And these guys, man, that dude was huge. Actually, I looked him up. I can't remember the name of the actor now, but the guy who plays Axel is 6'3".
Which, wow.
You know, that's tall, but it's not like super tall. I think all the actors in this series are just really tiny.
I think they're a little shorter. Yeah. And so, yeah, just makes that dude look even bigger.
Yeah, he looked like he was ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
But he took out the two guys from Cobra Kai like quick, like nothing. And those two guys gave Miyagi-Do a really hard time. So yeah, we're in it now. They need to get their shit together, like Jay said, for sure.
Yeah, focus.
And oh, and the girl too. What's her name?
Her character's name is Zara.
Zara, yeah, she took Tori out really quick also.
If I was younger, I would mention that she's hot, but I'm not, so I won't say that.
Well, you know, she really does know karate. She's like the youngest black belt.
She's been
in lots of tournaments for real, yeah.
Oh, really? She's a good actress then.
Yeah, I
thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, I think she does some acting. She's been in a few things here and there, but yeah, you're right, Rich. I was intrigued by her. I was like, oh my gosh. So I immediately looked her up, and yeah, you're right. Said she's the youngest black belt martial artist to attain 12 world championship titles.
Wow.
In 2011, at the age of 8, her name's Reina, her real name, won 4 world titles and making her the youngest black belt ever to win a championship.
That's
and
incredible.
She was competing against girls twice her size and a number of years older. So she's very well versed in the martial arts and extremely talented. So I'm anxious to see some more moves from her. That was a pretty awesome move she
legit
had there on Tori. Mm-hmm.
I want to know what Kreese and the other coach, well, what's her name? I want to know what they think of this new team, the Iron Dragons.
They
look stressed. They're like, oh, what's...
Yeah, when they beat Cobra Kai, I was sort of like, oh man, Miyagi just got embarrassed, and Miyagi-Do, I mean, and then Cobra Kai got beaten. I'm like, feeling that feeling I get when I watch sports, like, come on, teams, even with Cobra Kai, yeah. Like, represent, come on.
And, you know, the four teammates that were there to protect the captains just took a knee and then walked off. I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be cool.
Well, I kind of have a point about that whole captain's war thing. It's a little bit long, but I also have a point about the Sekai Taikai rules. That's a little shorter. Should I do that one first? I guess I should.
Yeah. What are the rules?
So, right at the beginning of the episode, the efficient guy says, "Captains, you will have the honor and privilege to compete in our televised tournament of champions, but that is only if your dojo does well enough in our team competitions to make it to the final four." So that means the team all has to work together to get the dojo into the final four so the captains can then fight on TV.
Mm.
And it's a points thing, whoever has points. So as a reminder, the Miyagi-Do captains are Robbie and Samantha, and Cobra Kai is Tori and Kwan. And so you would think, as much as they're trying to make us worry that we're likely to see Robbie versus Quan and Samantha versus Tori at the end. But who knows? Maybe they'll build some of these other characters up so we care about them and have them be in it. But you'd think Robbie and Samantha would win, but Tori and Robbie keep talking about them being the final two standing. So maybe we could see that. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not convinced Samantha and Tori are going to fight again, at least in any significant
manner. They have fought a lot already. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. There'll be some twists and something else will happen, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly. I think the writers are going to throw some curveballs with Tori's story.
I hope so.
Too predictable.
She's not even sure about her choice of being there.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Which I kind of thought was interesting, but we'll talk more about that. But then the officiant says, once the tournament is over, we will then tally all the points your dojos have earned. The dojo with the most points wins the Sekai Taikai. So that could mean that the captains who win the final match won't necessarily be from the dojo who wins the tournament, because the dojo that wins the most points wins the whole thing. I don't know. But anyway, I think what's good about this whole setup is, like, as the officiant said, each event counts because they're all trying to build up points so that their team's captains can fight at the end. So even though Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do lost this first one, I don't know if they still got points, like, for being second place, or, you know, instead of fourth. But anyway, clearly the Iron Dragons got more points than anyone else.
Yeah, I was a little confused. Remember when Tori was in the hotel room and she said, I only wanted to be captain so that I would fight last. And then, like, a few scenes later, she was the first one to go out and fight. I was like, wait a minute.
I didn't
quite understand.
Well, that means, it doesn't mean she won't fight first. It just means that she will fight last, no matter what, right? She'll be there at the end, in other words.
Yeah.
Because whoever, at the end, whoever's dojos, two dojos have the most, or four dojos, I guess. I don't know. How are they going to, is it just two? And then both the female and male from those two dojos are in it? Anyway, whichever dojos have the most points at the end, their captains are the ones that are going to fight. So she's just saying she wants to be one of those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So should I just talk about the captain's war then?
Yeah.
This thing?
Yeah.
Because you guys kind of already did. So I thought it was pretty wild. It was pretty much a free-for-all among all four dojos at once. And it was more intense than other free-for-alls we've seen, I think, because it wasn't just kids we know. It was kids we don't know, and Cobra Kai was there. But the rules for that are, if you hit the mat, you're out. If your captain hits the mat or gets taken down, I guess, your entire team is out for that round. And so they didn't really say how points figure in, but I'm sure they did somehow. And so just watching this without, you know, like on first watch, without trying to figure out what the hell's going on, I was just like, wow, this is pretty exciting. You don't usually see anything like this at a tournament that's so chaotic, especially with girls and guys fighting together.
Right.
And there was some pretty intense, like the second best Cobra Kai guy that we saw Quan replace earlier this season, he kicked Hawk's ass, kicked him right in the face.
Yeah.
Hardcore. Sam took down a guy. Sam and Tori were fighting, but I think to a standstill, since they're both captains, they didn't take each other out. Robbie, I think Miguel was fighting two guys at once and took one out.
Miguel was being a badass.
Mm-hmm. Robbie was about to take out Quan, but then he started staring at Tori and lost focus. And I'm like, come on, dude. Really? Come
there
on.
There it is.
Here we go again.
That's the shit you're going to regret when you're 40, right, dude.
So, and I think that, like, with Quan saying, did you sleep okay? That was sort of a dig, because he knows him winning that kicking competition caused Robbie not to get as much sleep. Plus, he somehow knows that Tori's his girlfriend and he's worried about all that. So he knows exactly how to needle people. But anyway, so then I was like, okay, what actually happened? Because we mostly saw fighting between Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do, even though there were supposed to be four, but it was a little confusing. The four teams are Miyagi-Do, Cobra Kai, the Iron Dragons in the green, and Falchi della Notte, who's the red team from Italy. That's Italian for Nighthawks, Falchi della Notte. And so it looked like the Iron Dragons just stood off to the side and let everyone else duke it out, you know? But I watched again and there was some movement among them. So I think maybe they were fighting the red team, but it was just off camera. You saw that?
I saw that. They, like, when Tori started running towards Miyagi-Do, the red team started running towards the Iron Dragon.
Okay. So they, those two teams were more fighting. And then after Robbie gets taken out and the focus is on Hawk and Miguel for a second, where they're sort of dissing Robbie, you can hear the ref in the background say, Falchi Della Notte, Captain down, they are out. So I think, I don't know if Cobra Kai or Iron Dragon did that. But then you see the Iron Dragon standing there, none of them out, and they're outnumbering the Cobra Kai team. I think 7 of them to 3. But then the 4 stand aside, like you said, I guess just showing confidence, like we don't even need to protect our captains.
Yeah.
And there's, and we see that their sensei is the stake stealer.
Yeah. I was surprised that Dimitri got kicked out so fast. Like literally, he literally got kicked in the chest and was knocked off the mat like within 10 seconds. I was like, oh shit. I thought he did a pretty good job to make the team, I guess. So it kind of made me wonder, is he going to be the weakest link? I don't know.
If this was real, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I'd be like, yeah, of course. Why'd you bring him?
Yeah. Seriously.
But in the storyline, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right, Rich. Like, this is the same thing, like I was saying about Robbie losing the kicking competition. And here we see not only Miyagi-Do, but Cobra Kai both lose to the Iron Dragon. So it's just making our guys feel like the underdogs.
Yeah, but also it's not just for our guys. I mean, look at Cobra Kai. They got their asses handed to them, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was satisfying, by the
way.
Yeah. It was kind of nice to be like, oh, you guys aren't the baddest ones on the block. You know, you got your ass handed to you, too. You got a little something to be worried about.
I know you think you're hot shit.
Well, it kind of, in a way, feels like it almost levels the playing field just a little bit. I mean, we saw, you know, Miyagi-Do. You know, it's like y'all were saying, they're all struggling with being focused. You know, they're all, you know, they don't look like a core group working together right now. They look just shaken and unfocused.
And resenting each other and all this, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and Cobra Kai, of course, seeing that, and they're poking at them, you know, like you're saying, you know, kind of needling them a little bit. And they're so sure of themselves and kind of cocky, but then now in this fight, and it's like, oh, we're not the baddest. I mean, they probably wouldn't admit that, but you could kind of see that they were shaken by that. And so I feel like it kind of levels things just a little bit. Mm. You know, maybe it's going to get them a little unfocused, a little shaken. And
they're like, when Kwan was like telling Tori, you know, you be quiet and just don't fall down, and I'm like, oh, you're an asshole. It kind of reminded me of when Johnny threw Allie's radio down in Karate Kid. Just guy being a dick to a girl. So that's sort of not good for their own team spirit either. Because she clearly knows what she's doing. But the Iron... I want to say one more thing about the Iron Dragons. Like, I thought they were Spanish because the girl, what nationality is the girl you were talking about who's this champion in real life?
She's American.
She's American. So on the back of their gis, there was a Hong Kong flag. So, because I was trying to figure out where they came from. Maybe you guys know, but to me, it seems like maybe they're just a team pulled together of some of the best fighters in the world or something from different countries, you know?
Yeah, neither of the captains look like they're from Japan.
Hong Kong's China, but yeah.
Or I mean China, sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, if it's like like a dream team or something, maybe.
Yeah, they didn't call it out. I didn't know if they were supposed to be a team based in either Spain or Barcelona, because she's like, welcome to Barcelona, bitch. So I don't know if that was,
could have just been attitude,
you know. It could have just been, yeah, but I was like, oh, well, is that where you're from, you know? I wasn't sure either.
We'll find out
more about them. Yeah,
best of the best.
All right, Rima,
my last point, I think I just want to touch on a little bit about how I appreciated that the showrunners, everyone involved, taking us to this next level. You know, I think they were really kind of setting up for this to be like this world stage kind of event. And it's supposed to be the best of the best at this event. I didn't know what to expect at all. You know, I just keep thinking of like Bloodsport back in the day, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, is this what we're gonna get, you know? That's my experience with it.
I think so, that's what it was in the 50s, Bloodsport.
yeah,
there you go. So I appreciate that, you know, they're setting us up, and they've kind of put us on this stage, and it is showing the best of the best, and in this new location, because, and I think we have to get there. I think at this point in the series where we are in this this far into season six, and you know, they're wrapping this up, we can't just have another day in the dojo in LA. Like, it's time to step it up. So I really am glad that they are stepping it up there, and that we get that first event where it's basically controlled chaos. You know, everything that you talked about there, Jason, with this captain's event was just craziness. And it feels like an uphill battle for everyone. You know, the good guys, the bad guys, they're all like, oh, hell, they're all kind of, you know, I feel like shaken a little bit about what they're seeing. And I really like that they're taking the time that we get to kind of explore Tori's feelings. I'm really glad that we kind of come back to that and kind of where she's at and how she is unsure about her decision, you know, maybe not feeling as confident about her season. And it's not just what it means for Miyagi-Do that she's switched, but also where she's at emotionally with her relationship with Robbie, where she is with her relationship with Samantha. I really feel like they're pushing the characters and pushing the show and going in a really good direction, I think. And I think Tori Nichols that's her character name. I was looking at her character name. Peyton List, is really playing Tori really, really well. I think she did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
In this episode, in her conversations with Robbie and with Samantha. And I really love that. I think she's gotten to be more vulnerable while she is kind of second guessing what she's decided to do. And then we see, you know, how Samantha and Robbie are also grappling with that. I just really like how they're pushing these characters and how they've all seemed to kind of settle into these characters too. I think they just keep getting better and better. So I'm appreciating where they've taken us so far in this season. It'll be really sad when it's over.
I agree about Peyton List. Her mom died for crying out loud. You know, her world had crashed around her, and she's doing a really good job of like, you know, her whole demeanor has changed.
Yeah.
As a character, and the actress is really pulling that through. I was impressed with that too.
Yeah. And it's good that the series has gotten to go six seasons, because when a series lasts this long, then the actors do tend to settle into their characters more and feel like real people more, you know?
Yeah.
But I liked
secondhand.
I liked, I liked that they had encounters with Tori and different characters, Robbie, Devin, and Samantha, and that she spoke respectfully to all of them. And that we saw her at the end of last season, just when she found out found her mom dead, she really took it so badly and was so upset and angry, and just went into that fight with Samantha, just as emotional as we've ever seen her and reactive. Right. And that, from that place, we presumed that's when she decided, fuck you guys, I'm going with Cobra Kai. And I think there is some truth in that. But what I liked about how she handled things in this episode is when she was talking to Robbie, much calmer, some time has passed. She's like, I don't think Miyagi-Do would have given me a fair shake. And Robbie didn't agree with that. But I think there's reason to at least think that could be debatable. We know that Daniel is biased towards his daughter, you know, and Johnny's biased towards Tori. But either way, it helps explain why Tori went with Cobra Kai, other than just a reactive thing that she knew for a fact that Kreese wanted her as captain, and that's what she wanted to be. So she went for the sure thing, you know, and it makes sense on some level. It kind of does make sense. And then when she told Robbie, I just want to focus on karate while I'm here and hope to be standing with you on the podium at the end, like we said, that seems fine to me, but Robbie's all bent out of shape about it. And I thought that felt maybe a little contrived, but it also felt very much like a teenagery thing where one person would be like, well, you're breaking up with me. No, I'm not breaking up with you. Oh my God. It's like, chill out, dude. That was me in high school, like every other day, pretty much. Yeah. Richard remembers. Sorry, Rich.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'm curious, do you think, and I don't know that
I just want to make it clear, Richard and I were not dating. I would go to Richard and yeah, be like, yeah, oh my God, these girls.
With teen angst.
Yeah. Did if we weren't dating, like it would be me? Fine, but we weren't that long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should stop talking.
Okay, sorry. I'll just shut up now.
Yeah, you're going to get yourself in a spot. You know, I don't think I necessarily agree with Tori that she was automatically going to get looked over in that position. But do you think that she's gotten to Robbie a little bit when she said that? Because now that the team is all kind of looking at him and like, man, why didn't you tell us about Kreese approaching Tori? And they're all kind of, you know, beating him down about it. And I think that that's not their, I get their feelings. I think they're valid feelings that they have, that they like, yeah, dude, you probably should have told us. But I think that it's not the best time to be like down on your captain. You need your captain to lead you, to lift you up and to get you to, you know, to be able to fight all of these other dojos. So I don't like what they're doing, but I do think they're valid. Their feelings are valid. But I'm wondering if he's going to start wondering if Tori was right based on how they're treating him right now.
Because when he went back and Samantha's like, you know, Robbie knew that Kreese approached Tori and he lied to us about it. And he's like, I didn't lie. And I'm like, he didn't lie. He just didn't mention it. Who cares? I feel like that is contrived drama. I'm like, who cares? I feel like I'm missing something, but it's ridiculous. But they're just trying to put all these wedges in between the characters. And I think you're right, that what Tori said might also make Robbie feel more alienated from everyone.
Is that what Sam was trying to say too, that Tori went for the sure thing by going over to Kreese because she said something to the effect of, you know, if you own this decision, I'll respect that, even though I don't agree with it, because I wasn't quite sure what she meant owning that decision.
I think she's feeling a little bit, a little unsure, but she's like, no, I'm going to fully, just commit to what I decided and not worry about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Keep it
not
over
sit there.
There
questioning it, but just be like, I'm here with Cobra Kai. I'm going to go for it. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
It was Richard's turn.
A lot of drama. Yep. Well, I hope that there's a little more depth to Chosen's story, because if not, that'd be kind of disappointing. I mean, if that's all there is, really, he goes to Okinawa, buys some flowers, sees a guy in a towel, and then shows up in Barcelona drunk off his ass. I'm kind of hoping there's a little more to it than that. I mean, you know, it could be the classic, the guy in a towel is just your brother or something. Who knows?
But I mean, that's what I think. Exactly what you just said. It seems clear it's some Three's Company style misunderstanding, right?
I think there's more to this towel guy than, and he didn't stick around to find out.
I mean, what would shock me the most is if it turns out that towel guy is her boyfriend at this point.
Yeah, could be that too. But regardless, it's like, man, it kind of sucks for Chosen, at least right now. He's taking it really hard. I mean,
he's taking it very hard.
His obsession may be a little bit on the unhealthy side.
He's a therapist.
Yeah.
Even when they show that montage of them all sleeping, you know, and Kumiko's snoring and Johnny's annoyed, and then in his sleep, I'm not Kumiko, Chosen is snoring and Johnny's annoyed, and then in his sleep Chosen goes, Kumiko,
Kumiko, Kumiko, next to a bunch of those courtesy bottles of alcohol that he drank.
Oh man, that's gonna cost a fortune. Johnny was $9. Daniel was upset.
Daniel won't like that at all.
Yeah, so I hope we get a little bit more of that story too. Maybe they'll clear that up in the next 5 episodes.
Maybe. I hope it doesn't last too long. But
keep you on the ladder.
I don't want it to drop.
I thought it was pretty funny. He shows up all wasted, big wide smile at the cocktail party, Miyagi-Do, with his arms all like, and then he's smashing those plants everywhere. I mean, like, have you ever been that drunk? I've never been that drunk.
If I was, I passed out before I could do that.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, different people act differently, and there's a lot of belligerent drunks, but I'm more of a silly and then pass out kind of a drunk.
Yep.
Yeah. not destructive.
Yeah.
Just silly. And then I usually fall down a lot until I don't get back up.
You don't run into cocktail parties and scream out someone's name and start smashing plants.
No. Not that I recall. And no one's come back and said that I've done that. So I'll say no.
Cocktail mixer. Have you ever been to a cocktail mixer? I don't think I ever have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a party?
Yeah, I mean, this one was about networking, I feel like, between sponsors and, you know, coaches or whatever.
Well, I've been to those, but there was no cocktails.
Johnny says he'll be okay as soon as he gets some Spanish chimichangas in him.
Yeah. Always count on Johnny to have some good.
He had a couple of good lines in this, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's my turn, right? So I got my next one is funny stuff. Maybe we can take turns. Do you guys have lines too?
I have one.
I'll do one. When Hawk says to Dimitri, "You fart in your sleep," and he goes, "Erroneous. And he who observed it served it," by the way. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. So who farted in bed during the bed scene?
That's a big
mystery.
Nobody
owned it.
It was Hawk because he's the first one to say something, right? He smelt it, dealt it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I betcha.
What was yours, Rich?
When Johnny was on the phone, he called down to the courtesy desk because of the shower. He's like, "Did you just call me a douche?" Because the word for shower is ducha.
Oh. I didn't catch that. That is amazing.
So he's like, "Yeah, I'm complaining about the shower." He's like, "What's the word for shower?" And then he's all, "Did you just call me a douche?"
I'm so glad you looked that up or knew that.
That's good.
So funny. Rima, did you have any?
No funny lines, no.
Okay, I had a few. I just thought it was great that Johnny and Daniel had to be roommates.
Yeah.
The odd couple. When Daniel's worried that Johnny's going to try something with Kreese and get them expelled from the tournament, and Daniel says, "You just concentrate on holding it together with Kreese." And Johnny says, "Please, I'm not the one who punched out Silver at a charity event." Mm-hmm. "I shoved him and he flopped. It wasn't... How do you even know about that?" I laughed at that. But Johnny has a good point because Daniel's always moralizing about Johnny flying off the handle, but Daniel's flown off the handle himself a couple times, like when he punched Johnny in the face.
He almost did just then in this episode too.
I mean, I was going to say he almost did. Yeah. And I point it out all the time because Daniel always wants to act a little high-handed about, you know, being a little moral superior over Johnny. And I'm like, dude, you can be just as aggressive, if not more sometimes than Johnny. And he, like you said, Rich, he started to kind of get fired up when Kreese was threatening him.
Yeah. I identify with Daniel in that I know better, but I don't always do better. Whereas Johnny doesn't know any better.
That's true.
That's why he's always a hothead, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody was a hothead in this episode. They should call it this Sakai Hothead Guy tournament or something.
Yeah, a lot of feelings.
I already said this one, but Daniel's like, if you talk to any sponsors, just make sure. And Johnny goes, "Yeah, I know. Miyagi-Do pride. Don't be a dumb American. I got it. I'll be fine as soon as I get some Spanish chimichangas." And then when he was doing the nunchucks pretty well, by the way, William Zabka showing off his skills there. And then the merch guy is like, "All the Sekai Taikai champions use and stand by these products." He motions towards some images of the kids using him on a big poster on the wall or whatever. Johnny says, "These are models. I got way better looking kids at my dojo. Let me show you some photos." And the guy's like, "That's not really criteria. The sponsorship opportunities are for champions." "Oh yeah. What is that? $50 a day opportunity to do some skin flicks. I went down that modeling road. It leads to nowhere good." Which we've seen pictures of him looking all hammy with his big 80s hair and no shirt on, oiled up. And
everything.
That's funny. That's all the funny lines I had. You didn't have any more points, Rima, except for notes.
Nope, that's all that I have.
Rich?
That bedroom sleeping scene, I thought that was pretty funny. It gave me like a John Hughes 80s feel to it, with everyone tossing and turning, all the kids, you know? It's probably the song.
And playing an 80s song, yeah. It's
probably the song.
I thought it worked really well. I don't know why, but I really, really liked that.
Yeah, kind of summarized everyone's anxiousness.
Mm-hmm. And it was like about anxiousness for some, and also just about them being annoyed that they had to sleep all in one room because they lost a room and different things, you know.
And then Quan with his little smile getting a good night's sleep. That was funny.
All right.
Not a care in the world.
I got a few more. I got some callbacks. Daniel and Johnny talking about Kreese, and Johnny says, "You don't have to worry about that. Mark my words, Kreese is a dead man." And Daniel said, "Oh, that's going to solve all our problems." And that's just such a big theme in Karate Kid about the degree to which violence can solve problems.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, they talk about problems being solved with violence a few times in the Karate Kid movies. Just a couple of examples. When Daniel's upset about having to move to California in Karate Kid, far away from his friends, and then getting bullied at his new school. And he says, "I got to take karate." And his mom says, "Fighting doesn't solve anything." And he goes, "Yeah, well, neither does palm trees." So there's that. And then at the tournament, Miyagi says, "Win, lose, no matter. You make good fight, earn respect, then nobody bother." And Daniel says, "Yeah, or they'll bury me where I fall." And Miyagi says, "Either way, problem solved." Which I liked. When Daniel tells Johnny if they let Kreese get into their heads, they've already lost. And Johnny says, "We're not losing. I'm taking him out of commission." That's right from the tournament in Karate Kid, when Daniel is up in the quarterfinals to fight Bobby, and Kreese pulls him aside and says, "I want him out of commission." So it's like, that's when Bobby kicked Daniel in the leg and injured him.
Mm.
And so when Johnny's afraid, I guess he reverts back to the ruthless Cobra Kai way of thinking. I guess that's all I had. And then I had a point about Kreese, when he confronts Johnny and he says, "I've always taken it easy on you because I had a soft spot for you, but things change. Now I'm going to show you what the true definition of no mercy is." I just thought that was a great threat.
Yeah.
Because no mercy is the Cobra Kai saying, and now he's threatening to, like, "I'm really going to show you what that's about."
Yeah, me too. In fact, that was my last point, because he was, I mean, this last thing they had written.
Oh, I didn't know you had another point.
Richard. No, I didn't mean point. I mean, it was just like the last note I had was that. And then he followed that up with, he paints himself as a man with nothing to lose, which is like the most dangerous kind of guy. So it's like, oh shit.
Right. Yeah.
and threaten Daniel, like, "You have a lot to lose."
Yeah.
We know that's the whole thing with Daniel. He's built up this whole business and family and everything.
Yeah. I didn't catch that until the second watch through, but then I was like, oh, hey, now we're getting serious.
Another interesting thing about that, Kreese said to Johnny, "Self-defense takes many forms, Johnny, but you already know that because, after all, you're Miyagi-Do." And I wasn't sure exactly what he meant by that at first, but it seemed like an insult, you know, like you're a traitor or you're weak or something. But then when Daniel shows up to break it up between Kreese and Johnny, Kreese says, "I was just telling your employee here that I would like to speak to his supervisor." Yeah. So I think he's just rubbing into Johnny that he lost Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And Kreese has it now, you know.
Every single word that comes out of that man's mouth is an insult.
Yeah. And he's got a smile on his face while he's saying it. That exchange, I just feel more and more like my prediction's going to be right, that Johnny will have Cobra Kai back by the end of this. At least I hope so.
Yeah. Something's going to go down too between Kreese and Johnny, I think.
Yeah.
There has to be. There's got to be a resolution
there's
there.
There's got to be something.
Eventually.
Yeah. I bet you. I don't know. Well, do I bet? What do I bet? I don't bet anything. I don't know what the hell's going
to
happen.
I don't know. Because I had always thought, oh, they'll probably try to humanize Kreese like they did everyone else, but I'm not so sure.
Well, I feel like they tried to do that already with previous seasons, with the flashbacks and, you know, things like that.
It seemed like that's where they were going with the whole prison story, but it turned out he was faking it with his therapist.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe, for briefly there, that they might have to solve it here in Barcelona, because will he be able to get back into the U.S.? I don't know.
But if he's right. He's telling the truth that they dropped the charges.
Yeah,
I think he is.
I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a 6-year thing too. So they got it. It's got to be one of the last things to be resolved.
It's a 35-year thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Long time coming.
All right. Do you have any notes, Rima?
I just have one that we haven't already touched on. It's just kind of something funny that, you know, you've got all this teen drama going on, right, with all the kids and the kids in the dojos. But then we've got Johnny, who has made an enemy because they've taken the last piece of steak. And it just was funny to me. And I'm like, this is where you decide to throw down over a piece of steak.
Like with the worst guy, with the worst guy who should be your enemy.
Right? Just yeah. Based on when that girl looked at Tori and she was like admiring Robbie and said, "Ooh, some of the guys here are hot," and then recognized, mm-hmm. "Oh wait, you guys already have a thing." It just made me think, and this is maybe reading into one little moment too much, but that she's just a cool girl who's really good at karate, not like this evil person or something, you know, and maybe their whole team is like that. They're just very disciplined and talented, but they're not like bad people.
Yeah, that would be the final insult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're hyper focused and I think they're well disciplined. And I think just based off of their sensei, because he told Johnny, he's like, well, I think I'm entitled to this, you know, second piece of steak. Yeah. So, you know, he's already saying like
I can take as whatever I want.
What I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, you know, so I don't mean it necessarily like he's a bad guy or anything, but I definitely do feel like they're confident in their skills. For sure. And you could tell how confident they were. I mean, when that whole front line got up and moved out of the way for their captains to be able to take them on when the whole point is to protect the captains. I mean, that shows a level of confidence that no one else seemed to have.
Right. And just the style of movement.
Yeah.
That the body language, it was together as one and just very confident and I think that's one thing. Mike Nico has been in Kung Fu since he was 5 years old and he's 13 now. And one reason why I like to have him in there is because it's a movement practice and it's just good to have a thing that you do regularly where you have a sense of your body. I just feel like movement can be really important in making you feel grounded and centered and confident and everything totally. Like that.
We have a couple of friends, you know, like Spencer did, Aikido, and Dan did Taekwondo, and they all swear by it. You know, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and mentally.
I like to sit firmly in my chair every day for several hours.
Yeah.
It's my practice.
To, work my right arm, my left arm with a couple of 12-ounce cans. You know.
Rich, any notes?
No, mine are exhausted.
Okay. I only had a couple. Just some predictions that I'm hoping Johnny gets Cobra Kai back. There's a lot of talk about sponsorships, and I think that's related to the storylines we saw earlier about the kids and which colleges they're going to go to or hoping to go to. So this isn't really much of a prediction, but I just think that's going to be a big part of how this ends up, which colleges people end up going to. That's going to be the resolution to the kids' stories or don't, you know, and Dimitri's being so insufferable, keep mentioning that he's going to MIT and I know the physics and all that. But, that makes me wonder if Hawk will end up going to MIT and Dimitri won't, but if they are considering a spinoff with those two, maybe they would want to have them in the same place. So I don't know,
man, a lot of spinoff talk, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Series is ending. It would be sad to me to have just the kids and not the adults in a show. I would be less interested in that.
I'd be interested in the Miyagi.
Yeah, me too.
Spinoff, but I don't know about the kids. Yeah.
And then last, the episode was dedicated to Chad McQueen, who plays Dutch at the end, who passed away earlier this year at only 63, way too young to go. That was sad, but I'm glad they put that in there. And I don't know if I'd say I feel like, but I at least hold out hope that they did film something with him and that we will see him in an episode. I don't know. One thing that makes me suspect that is, well, two things. They mentioned Dutch earlier this season.
Yeah.
I forget what the context was, but they brought him up. And when Chad McQueen died, William Zabka posted something really nice about him. I should have mentioned that in this podcast because I don't know if we read that before. But anyway, it was really sweet. And he said that he'd had a chance to spend some time with him recently, which makes me think, oh, were you on a film set or what?
Wow. You know. Blues Clues.
Got a couple of calls for this one. Good old Mike Caruso called in. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Excellent.
Hey guys, Mikey C back again, this time to talk about Cobra Kai season 6, episode 6. I'm going to attempt to say it. Benvinguts a Barcelona. I probably butchered that. But we're back again, and it really seems like we've just got utter chaos within the Miyagi-Do ranks. Like, all the kids, almost basically, is it everybody except for Lee? It kind of is. Yeah, but even Lee's got a little something going on. Everybody's distracted in one way or the other, and the kids are just not on their best game at all. Kind of feel for them a little bit because they're going through some relatable shit, it kind of seems like. But man, they're just, it seems like they're just getting broken down further and more divided. And it looks like we're going to hit like a low point and then eventually start to build back up, find our footing, hopefully kick some ass in this tournament. But man, there's a lot going on. I really enjoyed the mixer scene. Was pretty funny at times, especially once Chosen got in there. Man, it's amazing how these full grown adult men just cannot help themselves from acting like children. Gotta love it. Pretty true to real life too, I'd say. But, finally we get to this Sekai Taikai and we just hit the ground running. It kind of reminded me of, if you'll allow me to be nerdy for a second, in late Dragon Ball, when Goku comes back to life and they're going to do the Budokai Tenkaichi tournament and Goku and Vegeta get pitted against each other in the first round. And it's like, oh, okay, we're doing the final event first then, are we? And here we are doing the exact same thing. It's like, okay, we're going to pit Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do against each other right off the bat. Let's just hit the ground running, guys.
Good point.
And of course, whereas in Dragon Ball, that fight never happens, here it does. And like, they pit woman captain against woman captain, man captain against man captain, I guess boy and girl, whatever. And we just go. And, yeah, like I had to go back and rewatch it just to kind of get the announcer's wording on this. He really just says 4 dojos will take the mat, only one will be left standing. But it was like going into it, I thought, okay, we're gonna narrow these groups of 4 dojos down to just one. The other 3 will get eliminated, you know, so we'll go down to a quarter of the participants right off the bat. I'm getting the sense that since the 2 dojos that we are like invested in to some degree get knocked out right off the bat, that they're knocked out of the tournament, you know, they're not knocked out of the tournament. Ugh, try saying that 10 times fast. But yeah, that was like, I was like watching it like, oh shit, what? Like, you know, but I don't think they're knocked out, obviously. But yeah, that kind of threw me for a loop watching it. And kind of love that the one sensei that Johnny kind of tangled up with at the mixer ends up being the sensei here. And and yeah, they kind of kicked ass. A little bit of rivalry maybe between Tori and the girl fighter there. But yeah, so far off to a great start. Like I said, we hit the ground running and really enjoying it so far. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it and see what else we've got to look forward to. See you next week, guys. Stay badass.
Nice.
I love that. Yeah, I guess I was feeling like that at first too. Like, whoa, wait, they're just going to be eliminated? What? So that's why I wanted to really key in on the second time and say, what exactly is going on here? And it's all about the points.
Point,
so
yeah.
They got lower points or no points, but they're still in it.
Yeah.
All right. And we got one more call from Jim Pete.
Hey there, Richard, Rima, and Jason. This is Jim from Raleigh, sending in a voicemail for Season 6, Episode 6, Benvinguts a Barcelona. And my initial reaction, having just finished it, is that I absolutely loved it. I mean, there are gaps in this episode. I think that I've had a problems on the right word that I've struggled with throughout the season, but it's clear they're trying to cram a whole bunch in their final season to get wherever they're going with this. And so I'm okay with those little gaps. I mean, look, Karate Kid for me is the underdog story in tournaments and seeing the underdog overcome. And we've got two teams. We've got Cobra Kai and we've got Miyagi-Do. Of course, we're supposed to be in the corner of Miyagi-Do in this, but now we've got Tori over Cobra Kai. And I really, and then of course they throw in Iron Dragons, which was not something that I saw coming. So I loved the end sequence, the Captain's War, which sort of mirrors the egg thing that they did at Miyagi-Do.
Yep.
And to see them get kind of cremated by these other two teams was kind of where they were leading us to think was going to happen, because the teams completely there's dissension in that team right now because of Tori. I love the Tori storyline. She's not been a character I've been too fond of throughout the series, but to see her kind of grounded here in the most sensible of all of them, where she's not reacting to Miyagi-Do. She's just like, I need time and I didn't know what to do, so I'm doing this and I'm not sure it was the right thing to do. And the hell with Miyagi-Do. Like, they kind of screwed her over in episode 5 by letting her walk away. And, you know, I haven't rewatched the first part like I wanted to before I could get this in, but I'm angry at them. And there's dissension there, and I like the dissension. Robbie sort of took the lead with the team, and Miguel is kind of lost right now because he's not the captain. And you have Devin, who is struggling with the lie, and she got knocked out early. But I do like how things are set up. And even the Miyagi storyline that I didn't like in part one, I'm interested. Hmm. Why is Miyagi tied to the Sekai Taikai? So I'm kind of curious about how this all plays out. I absolutely loved the first episode. And even though there's too many storylines going on, I think it'll be fun watching them try to untangle everything. So I'm going to leave it right there. I can't wait to hear the podcast when you guys post it. And I just don't know if I'm going to wait that long to follow with you guys, because I kind of want to know what happens. So thanks. Yeah, part one of episode one of part two, I really liked. So on to the next.
Nice. He told me he just got done with the, like, a power walk or something. But that also, like, Jim is one of our podcasters too. He's a friend and a podcaster, and he's been doing Agatha All Along with Penny, and they've been great on there. Really great. Like, I wasn't so sure I was into that show, but I listened to an episode of theirs and they really got me into it. But anyway, I had asked just like a couple hours ago, hey, first, thank you, Mike. You're our super fan. You've been calling in almost every episode and mm-hmm. we love you for it. And then part B, what about everybody else? Come on, guys. Like, we're almost done with this show. And man, I love this show and it's been so much fun podcasting. And I just think it would be really cool if you guys are engaged with it, that you want to write in and let us know your thoughts as we come to the end here. If you don't want to, it's okay. But it's fun to be engaged and stuff. I mean, I'm doing the Walking Dead rewatch right now, and we get a lot of great engagement in there. So if you guys have thoughts, you're running out of time to be a part of this podcast rather than just listening if you want to.
Yeah. Now's the time while it's fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is our show. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. Next episode will be Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 7, Dog in the Fight. Uh-huh.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other podcasts.
I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you want to write in to waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com, and we'll get it.
Yeah.
Little secret, you can write to anything at podcastica.com and I'll get it. Whatever you put at the beginning, it comes to me. You can write into Daniel sucks at podcastica.com. I'll get that.
I'm rooting for like Cobra Kai.
I will get it. Yeah.
Oh, shoot, you found my email. No, I'm kidding.
That one goes to Reba. Yeah. But you could go on there and you know, like Reba said, find our contact information. There's other contact information. You can be part of our Facebook group at Podcastica Facebook group. Where we put up posts for each episode and people who comment on there can get their comments in. But also our other podcasts, we got a few going right now. Rima does Strange Indeed, where she covers Stranger Things and a bunch of other Netflix shows. And right now they're covering Great British Baking Show, which is such a great show. And if anybody by any chance needs some cheering up right about now for any reason, I don't know why, but maybe you should watch that show because it will cheer you up. Makes me feel good. Anwen and Penny just did a Rings of Power season 2 wrap up crossover with Derek and John of TV Podcast Industries, which I was so glad to see because I love all those people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's a couple of ones that you might be interested in.
I need to watch that show. Good. Rings of Power.
So good.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, God.
Are you saying you smelt it, Rich?
You smelt it. You dealt it. He who rhymes did the crime.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.